Good morning, everyone. So my name is Werner. I'm one of the elders here of this congregation. And one thing that stood out for me from the worship this morning was the fact that we don't have to be perfect. So I'm the right guy for the job. So if you're expecting a perfect preach, you're not going to find it this morning. But my hope is that there'll be something of the Lord left in what I have to say. So part of my family, Isabella, is here. We're home alone. My wife has gone to my mom because she's recovering for operation, and I don't know if it's because we didn't look after well enough that she left. But she's there and recovering, so missing her. And Damon's obviously at Leap, enjoying his time there. And we've been part of this congregation, can you believe it, for 15 years. Someone sent me photos over the through the week of just friends of ours that we spent time with, and it feels like it was a year or two ago, and some of this stuff was 6 years ago. And I'm like, it felt like yesterday, but if I look at my daughter in that picture, then, and if I look at myself in that picture, I can see that there's been a bit of years that's gone by. But for those of you who are new here, there's a handful of us that's been here or since when I joined the church 15 years ago, and we were in the Durbanville Children's Home. And the children's home was a hall the size of this block. We were not 100 people in there. And I remember in our hall, they didn't have toilets in the hall when we came there. So they had to build toilets in with, what do you call those walls? Drywall. But it was in the hall. And it didn't have a roof. So when the pastor or the elder was preaching, there was sometimes a bit of a backtrack of people going to the toilets while he was preaching. And we didn't have a mom's room. We didn't have a mom's and toddler's room. We just had a wall. We had a door like that, but on the outside, it was outside. And we had an ofduck there, and that was a mom's section. And through winter, through rain, that's where everybody gathered, and all the moms stood. And you couldn't see the babies because they were under blankets because it was so cold. But it's just amazing to see. We come from there to where we are today, 15 years later. And it's just so amazing to think at what can happen in 15 years. And he's going to use each and every one of you to do that, just as he's used me through the years and everybody else. And that's an amazing privilege to be able to do that. So as an eldership team, we've felt like there's something of the supernatural that we want to see in our meetings. And we focused on prayer, and we focused on being together and praying. And for us as an eldership, it would be great to say, we've got this amazing team that, there's miracles every Sunday. But that's actually not what it's about for us. It's about every individual year experiencing that on their own and then coming here on a Sunday. And something from that, the overflow of what the Lord is doing in your life, that He will come do amongst us here. And Kevin preached a little bit on developing appetite for the supernatural. And I want to build a little bit on that, what we feel the Lord is doing amongst us and in individuals this morning. So the title of my preach this morning is On Fire or On the Wire. And this morning I want to speak about the fervor. You can put that scripture up there. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And for the Afrikaans guys, it's nie verder. It's not going to take us further. Fervor is the intense, passionate feeling inside us, the fire inside us. The fire inside us. And we sang that song, Set a Fire Down in My Soul, that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, Lord, I want more. Wouldn't it be amazing that would be our cry, and not just our cry, something that we'll see something of that in our midst. How amazing will that not be? And when we speak about fire, I don't know about you, but if I hear fire, I think Bri. You know? Yeah, and this, let me tell you a secret of, if you in front of you leading or preaching, you either say fire or rugby, then you've got half of the people's attention. So you've got this, I don't know what this is for the ladies, if it's manicure, foot rub, sneakers. Now that's Lizaldi. Huh? Holiday. So now that I've got everybody's attention, all the words used, I want to speak about that. The fire in us, God's presence in us. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. And if I look at our lives in general, and you can put that image on that I've got on there, this is how I see most Christians live, unfortunately. We live on the wire. We're a little bit in and a little bit out. Sometimes we're a little bit more in than a little bit out. But I don't believe that's the Lord's plan for you and I. And when I speak to myself, because I put myself in this, you know, I can, there's a lot of these things, I don't, if I prepare, it's not something I prepare for people to hear. It's a lot of the times that the Lord's convicted me on things in my life. And that I share from that place because I feel that the Lord is wanting to bring it to other people as well to learn from. So that is how we have a little bit of, in a little bit of art. A compromise here, compromise there. How do I speak to my wife when no one sees? How do I treat my kids? How am I at work? How am I at school? How am I with my girlfriend or my boyfriend? Not that you should have girlfriend or boyfriends. But that's a conversation for another day. You know, what do I do in the secret? That is putting you on the wire. And no one can live there because it is tiring and scary to be on that wire. It's far to fall from there. It can be potentially deadly to live that life there. And no one and nothing can flourish in that environment. No one and nothing can flourish in that environment. So what should we do as Christians? We should be stoking the fire. We should be stoking the fire. 2 Timothy 1:16 says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you." To fan into flame. And we recently moved houses, and it's been a cold winter, and we wanted a fireplace. And so we researched a fire, and my wife wanted to see the fire and hear the fire. And I wanted one of those little ovens, you know, that makes nice and warm, because I don't care much to see the fire or hear it. But anyway, we got a fire. And this thing is quite technical to make. It's easy to make a fire in it, but it's quite technical to be able to get the fire as hot as quickly so that you can experience warmth as quick as possible. You know, it's a bit of a science to, maybe it's just for me. I'm just like trying to get the most out of that thing as quick as possible. And over the times that I've made fire, I've learned and I made mistakes. And I've learned that the fire needs to be packed a certain way so it doesn't smother, you know. And I've learned that you need to use certain wood. Very important what you put on the fire. Can't use wet wood. And then I've learned as the professional fireman, fire builder that I am right now, that you don't make fire with newspaper. And you might say you make fire with blitz, and I will tell you that you are wrong. You get a gas bottle with an extension. Okay? That's called Constantia Blitz. That's what you put in the fire, and it lights that fire immediately. You know, there's a science to this thing that I've figured out. If you want to know more, come speak to me after the meeting. And the fireplace even has vents that you have to control, you know? If you close one too soon, fire dies, and it's like a whole story. And as I was thinking about preparing on the fire and what the Lord has laid on my heart to share, and it took me to this picture, to this fire building exercise that I so often have to do when my wife tells me she's cold. And one thing I realized is a fire is not a given. It's not something that will always be there in the natural. You know, your fire runs out, you know? Your fire runs out. And for us, we need to be intentional. And the Lord spoke to me specifically again. He said, what about, and how if you are so intentional with your fire and you spend so much time to figure out how to perfect your fire than you do in this fireplace? You know, what if my people does that in their lives? What if they plan, what if they use the right combustibles? That's a big word. I'm going to speak about combustibles. That's what you put into the fire. And we must remember there is a doing action from our side. And I think that's a lot where we miss it. We sit and wait for me to tell you this amazing message that's going to change your life. And we move from here and we wait for the next life-changing moment. And if you're using that as your combustibles, you're failing because you the Lord has to do that. I'm only relaying something, but the Lord has to put a fire in that into your life. And you have to take that and make it your own and hear what the Lord has got to say to you. The thing is, of that fire, once that fire is going, And the way our house is structured and where the fire is, it is at this space where people are sitting in front of the fire, you can't get to the rest of the house. We're in a bit of a small house now, which we love. It's amazing. We're all close to the fire now when we sit there. But as the fire gets warm, you can just see Nicole puts her chair closer. And then I sit a little bit closer because she wants to now see the fire. You know, that must be, now I need to sit there because I need to see it and I need to feel it. We didn't have a chair in our lounge. We had couches. There's now a chair that can move in our lounge because of the fireplace. And then we've got two Boston Terriers. And if you know Boston Terriers, you know, dogs don't speak, but our dogs speak. The facial expression is intense. And they sit in front of that fire and they look at me and they're like, what, can you not see? There's a problem here. So they just sit there. I have to go fetch their bed and put it in front of the fireplace. And then they lie there and they're there for the whole day. But the problem is we can't walk. I can't get to my bedroom or to the toilet, which just creates a bit of a problem. Nonetheless, we make a plan. Yeah. So what if my people look at their fires like I looked after this fire? How hot will we not burn for him? And how many people will we not attract to the person of Jesus? And I was like thinking, yo, it would be amazing for me to be able to measure, because I think a lot of us think we're on fire, you know? And I think there's some of us that know we're not on fire. But I was like, Lord, is there not a way, a practical way that I can tell how on fire someone is? Will make our job much easier. And you know, the diligent person that I was, I went to go Google. What spiritual thermometer? You know, there's a thing. You can put the image up there. This is an old model. You see, it says there. You see this guy at the corner here? I'm afraid to read mine. So this is an older model. This is the one. It takes a bit longer to test your spiritual temperature. So it's not going to work here. But, you know, and this one is also focused a bit on church attendance. I was more on, how are we doing spiritually? You know, how can we tell that? And wouldn't believe it. There is a thing like that. I got it online. And I was like, yo, I need to speed post it here to be able to use it for the sermon. And I was worried that it's not going to come. And it did come. And it's all the way from Jerusalem. I had to order it there. It's made of a special metal. Let me just tell you before I show you. It's made of a special metal that can sense your spiritual temperature. Can you believe that? No, I'm serious. So I got this thermometer from the internet. And when I got it, I was like, well, because I wanted to demonstrate. And I'm going to ask some people now. And I was like thinking, I have to stick this somewhere. It's not going to be appropriate for, very inappropriate for today's demonstration. But then I read the manual, and what the manual says is, and it actually makes sense to me completely, is that, let me just put this thing, I'm going to stick a hole in my... So I didn't bring the manual, I should have put the manual up there. But you make your hands like you're praying like this, and then you stick it in here. No, I'm serious. You guys think I'm joking. You stick it in there, and then it picks up your spiritual temperature. It's amazing, eh? So I want to ask, not the elders, because we know they're all on fire, so I don't have to test them. But I want to ask, is there anybody else here that would love to be tested and see how on fire you are? Any one person. So obviously, the rest of you guys are definitely not on fire then if you don't want to be tested. So I need to... I'll call you up, okay? Sorry, The thing is this, I actually don't want to get the people here that put up their hand because obviously they know that they would be on fire. So I want to start, maybe one of the youngsters can come because we know you're always on fire. Maybe Shaul, you can just, because they're not listening to me, but I know they listen to you. So maybe you can just tell someone to come up. Maybe we ask Ethan. He's sitting here in front and he's wearing my old t-shirt, so he can come. And my old jacket. So give Ethan a hand. You can come up the stage. So this thermometer, I must just tell you, it's got two readings. It's got hot and then lukewarm. Because if you're anything but hot, then there's a problem. Not how you look. We all know that. So you must go like this. But you must... You must hold it. There's a specific way. You must hold it away like that. Now you must hold it close. Just go like clean your hands first quickly. Okay? So then we stick it in there. It's not reading. Go again. No, it's not working. It's not on there. Is there something? Did you wash your hands today? Okay, wait. It's not working. Are you sure? Maybe someone else. Let me just try some because it's not working with him. I don't know why. Maybe it's not reading a temperature. Anyway, let's get. Who else can I ask? Let's get Emil, seeing that he's sitting in the front. Emil's got big hands. I don't know if it's going to. So let me just put it. Yeah. You can't warm it up. That's cheating. There we go. Yeah, see, yours is working perfectly. See, it's going. Wait, it's saying lukewarm, but it's still going there a bit. Yeah, that. Yeah, and you see how quick this thing works? It's already saying he's on fire. It's amazing, eh? Well done. Such an example. Great example. A great example. So if you guys want to use that in your communities to test the guys in your communities. Yeah. So obviously, that I don't know if you guys believe me, but that was a joke. And my wife would have been sitting here thinking that was true. She's one of those people. So imagine that was true and we could measure that. And the aim of that exercise is to make you think a little bit, how hot are you burning? And that's something we need to think about quite often. How hot are you burning? You can put up that quote from John Wesley. I read this quote and it really convicted me. And this is not John Wesley trying to commit suicide. This is John Wesley saying that he is so on fire for the Lord that he will go anywhere and people will see that there's a difference in him. And he's not a special guy, or he is a special guy, but he's not more special than anyone here to the Lord. And if he can do that, I'm telling you now, each and every one sitting here of us can do that. But once again, I set myself on fire, and the Lord came to watch me burn. Can you say that? Do you want to say, first of all, the thing is this, do you want to say that? Because a lot of us, we do the right things. And we live on that wire, you know, and we put ourselves there all the time. But is there a passion in you to want to say that? That I set myself on fire and people came to watch me burn. The thing is this, if you get saved, if you're here, and I'm going to give an opportunity later for the people that's visiting us today to respond. But if you get saved, there is a fire that gets lit inside of you. And that's something the Lord gives all of us here that is his children freely. And that's why you see when people get saved, it's like that gas prod in the fireplace. It's an intense, big fire very quickly. And the Lord gives you that free of charge. But that fire does go out. It never dwindles. There will always be a flame. But do we want to be a match flame, or do we want to be a raging fire? What do you want for your life at the end of the day? And if we believe the Lord has called us, and I don't think no one can sit here and say the Lord hasn't, he's got a plan for each and every person sitting here this morning. Everyone down to my daughter Isabella, 12 years, 11 years, almost, well, she says, I'm almost 12. She's almost 12. Even the babies that can't, there's a plan for your life. There's a plan for your life. And what do we need to do? There's certain combustibles that we have to put on the fire. And I want to focus a bit on some of those combustibles and the things that we need in order that we can stoke our fire that the Lord has put in us. And the first one is the Word of God. That's the first combustible. The Bible is a living Word, and merely by reading it, it can change your life. The Bible changes people's lives that's not even Christians when they read it. It's a living Word. It is said those who hear God's voice best are those who know his word most. That's amazing to know that you could hear God better by the time that you spend in the word. The Bible is inspiration from the Lord on paper for each and every one of us. It's a reliable book. It's the most researched book. And if you look at that book, and you can cross-reference things from the Old Testament, and you can see that this book is real. The events in that book is real. It is something that has happened. It will guide you, it will correct you, and it will confront you. But the thing is this, if you do not spend time in that book, you miss the number one way that the Lord wants to speak to you. And in a sense, this is those big logs we put in our fire that actually keeps the fire burning. And I didn't put a timer on. Just thinking, I forgot to put my timer on. So just check the time for me. If I go over, just don't tell me. Just tell me after. The next combustible, let me drink some water. The next one is prayer. As Christians, I know we all pray. But how healthy is your prayer life? How healthy is the time you spent with God? What does your prayer life look like? And you know what prayer is? It's a conversation between you and the Lord. And I've heard so many people say, I spoke on prayer the other day on one of the foundations, and one of the people says, I feel when I pray, it's not good enough. And I want to tell you that is such a lie. If you are saved for one day or for 50 years and you're here, there's no certain way to pray. It's you speaking to the Lord and Him speaking back to you. And that doesn't have to sound eloquent. I believe that the Lord hears every prayer that you pray to Him and every conversation you have with Him. It says in Acts 2:42, and we all know the scripture, we need to be devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We need to remember that devotion, that looks like something. Devotion is not just they prayed, they devoted themselves to prayer. And praying is like the oxygen to your fire. It blows life into your fire. And a lot of the people, I see people don't know how to pray. And it's like, how does it supposed to look? What must you say? I'm going to use a quick acronym, and I don't want to spend too much time on the acronyms, but I believe this might help maybe one or two people here, and we'll use the same book as that scripture is from, is Acts. And we use Acts, it starts with A, and that comes with adoration. That's you telling Jesus how amazing He is, because He is amazing. And He doesn't want to hear you tell Him that He's amazing. It's not His heart. But He knows if you tell Him He's amazing, that you're actually focusing on Him and He can do things in your life. Okay, so that's the A. The C is for confession. Who confesses often when they pray? I do. Because we have a lot to confess about. Each and every one of us sitting here. Confession, self-explanatory, you know what that is. T is for thanksgiving. Saying thanks to the Lord for what you have. Even like Shimon said, the shoes on your feet. You know, thank the Lord. There's always something to be thankful for. And then it's supplication. And this is where most of the people start and stop. It's, Lord, can you help me with this? I need this. Change this thing. Change that thing. And then, don't get me wrong, the Lord loves doing that. But that cannot be the extent of our time and our prayer with Him, is to ask Him things. It needs to be all of the above and that. And one thing is, don't feel awkward to be quiet. Because I had to be quiet sometimes when my wife has spoken to me. You now have to listen. And the Lord sometimes speaks to us in that quiet place. And this is something that I struggle with myself, because I'm more of a doer type of personality. And I want to get things done, and I want to, I want to do and pray. But I struggle just to sit and hear what the Lord has to say. Just be quiet with Him. And we need to know that He's there with us in all those conversations we have with Him. Because you cannot have a conversation. If I have a conversation with my wife and she's not there, it's not going to help much, you know? I'm going to tell her things, she's not there. The Lord is there with us in that time when we pray. So that is, and just a disclaimer, these other combustibles, but I, for the sake of time, have just focused on a couple this morning. Prayer unites us with Him. It makes us understand Him, and it helps us to get to know His heart. The next combustible I've got here is the people of God. That's all of you. And I love the fact that I've got people that love me enough to tell me when I'm doing something wrong. I love it that I have friends that love Jesus more than they love me. We need one another. The Bible's called us into fellowship, into a fellowship of all believers. That's all of us here. That's why we cannot have church in front of a TV at our house, because there's no fellowship. There's no people. The Lord uses those two things to speak to you. The Lord has spoken, and I've had major breakthrough in my life because of the people around me and what they spoke into my life, what they felt the Lord has laid on their hearts. And as Josh, Jen, we always speak about this thing about accountability. And if you're new here, believe me, you'll hear about accountability. But the thing is, accountability is not this tick box that we have to do. And I sometimes get the sense from people that's like, okay, I'm now in this church and I need to be accountable. So let me just do this so that I do what I think is expected of me. But that's actually not what it is at all. Accountability is actually this amazing thing of friendship. It's not something you do because you have to. It's not like you have to report to your manager at work while you've done your work, you know. It's a friendship. It's someone you look up to. It's you sharing life with them. You're sharing what the Lord is doing in your life with them, and they're sharing with you. It's a friendship that's mutually beneficial, and the benefit here is Jesus. And sometimes I hear it's this heavy thing that people need to do, and it's been so refreshing for me. I've never experienced that ever. So if you're in that place, know that something somewhere is amiss. People that's on fire will set you alight. That's the thing about fire. Fire comes, and you cannot help. If I put my hand in the fire, I can't say, listen, I'm not going to receive from you fire. I'm going to receive a burn, you know? And the thing is this, if you sit down and you think like, listen, yo, Brian is an amazing Christian, and I look up to him, in which he is an amazing Christian. I look up to him, and I'd love to spend some time with him, because there's stuff in his life that I see that I want to imitate. In a sense, I want his fire to set me alight. But there's a caution to that. If someone, it's Brian's responsibility to be on fire also. Because a lot of the times, I think it's the other way around. People are accountable to you, and you see that as a duty, and then you actually just give them dead works. You don't give them from Jesus. But the reality is, as we all spend time with him, we will get this right. It's as simple as that. It's as simple and as difficult as that. I don't want to play it down at all because it's very, very difficult. The next combustible I've got here is obedience. Obedience. Sorry, it's hay fever season. You don't want to hear me. This speakers will blow up if I sneeze. 1 Thessalonians says, 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And that speaks about it's quenching that flame within you. It's like throwing water on that flame. And that's what happens when we are not obedient. Because, you know, I don't know if you've heard this said, obedience is like God's language. That's what the Lord enjoys, is us being obedient to him. It's following as he guides us. And I don't know if you guys know about love languages, but there's a lot of them, apparently, that I hear about. But the Lord's love language is obedience. We need to be obedient, and this is very important, because, once again, I see so many of us, we don't cheat on our wives, and we don't steal, and we don't rob, and we're amazing at being obedient in those things. But then there's like things like taxes, how do you treat your family, the small things. Sometimes we're okay with putting ourselves on that line again, where we're walking that tightrope and balancing. And we cannot just be obedient in the big things. We need to be obedient from the small things to the big things. And I want to put in just a word of warning here. And I spoke a little bit about wet wood and putting that on your fire, and how Jock won't know anything about wet wood, but the rest of you, it's putting wet wood on your fire. It smokes the place out. It stinks. Your fire can't light, you know? It's just a mess. Even if you put that gas thing in there, it doesn't work. And we spoke a bit about these combustibles, but the reality is that sometimes, even by doing these things, it can be like wet wood we put on our fire. Because if we do these things for any other reason, but the reason that we love Jesus and he deserves everything, full stop there, that is the main reason. If you're doing it to be a better elder, being a better father, being you're now getting to know the Bible. If you're doing it for any other reason, those combustibles, you are missing the mark completely. And your fire will not, even if you do those things, even if you do pray. And we need to do all those other things as well. We need to, you know, there's reasons why we do things. But if it's not anything other than the fact that we love Jesus and that he deserves everything we have, we're missing it. We're missing it. And we need to remember that. And then I want to focus a little bit on the spirit quenches, the fire extinguishes. And those are the things in our lives that we do that puts our fire out. That puts us on that line, that balancing line, in that dangerous place. But I want to tell a story, and this is a true story. It's about a grandfather that he has spoken to his grandkids, and he always tells them stories. And this grandfather told them once about when he was younger and he stayed in a town, a very small town of 5,000 people, there was fires that was happening in this town all the time. And they couldn't explain where these fires came from. And at night they'll be woken up by fire trucks going through the town. And this one night his grandfather woke up from a phone call and they said, listen, your business is on fire, you need to come. But luckily this town had this amazing fire station and fire chief that could put out these fires very quickly. So the grandfather got to the business and he was there and he saw this fire chief already with a hose busy putting out this fire. And after the fact that the town felt, listen, we need to investigate this. And they got people in from the outside to investigate these fires that was happening in this town. And after the investigation, they actually found out that it was the fire chief setting the fire and then putting them out. And it's something so, that doesn't make sense that you fight so hard to put a fire out that you've set yourself. And it sounds very idiotic in a sense, but then you look at our own lives. And then we come and we set the fires in us. We do these things and we go for it and we flat out for Jesus. But then we come set out our own fires by the things we do. And these wrong things that we do. And it's sometimes I don't understand it, and I can ask myself that question. Why would you, your desire is this, but why do you do that? Why do you do that? And what is the things that we do that puts us in that place? And once again, there's a couple I'm going to share, and there's a lot more. I'm sure if I call a lot of people up, they have a different things that they can feel that puts them on fire, and they can add to, and things that they've done that the Lord, that quenched their fire. And the first one I've got here is bitterness. That is, in a sense, offenses and unforgiveness. Bitterness quenches the Spirit's power to heal our hearts. It quenches the Spirit's power to heal our hearts. And if you're sitting here in this church, or any other church for that matter, I can promise you one thing. You will get offended. It's not when, it's not if. This morning, tomorrow, whenever, people will offend you, and you will have to deal with that situation. And how we deal with that, and how we manage that, and how we control that situation will determine what happens in our lives. It will determine what happens in our lives. It's something we can't control, but it's something so many of us hold on to and hang on to. And I'm not just speaking about bitterness to your fellow brother and sister in this church. I'm talking about maybe people that's not even saved, family members. I was in a situation a month or so ago from things that I had to sort out that happened years ago. Talking about 5-6 years ago. The Lord convicts me of those things. Sometimes you feel that you've done enough to be able to reconcile, but you must know that you are 100% okay with that situation. And it's got this ability to become like almost like a tumor in our lives. This thing that it makes us sick. And it's this thing we carry around, and it's, you know, imagine you've got a tumor on your head and it's things sticking out. It's not very, you know, peeling, but that's how we walk around, is with tumors on us. But the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. It's like a soothing balm that comes that can deal with that. If you are offended, someone has offended you, the Lord has given you the grace to deal with that offense. That is the truth. The reality is that you need to accept that and apply it. And I see so many people pick up secondhand offense. If I was upset with Anari, now Anel gets upset because of what I said to Anari. But the thing is this, the Lord has given Anari grace to be able to deal with that situation. And sometimes secondhand offenses is so difficult to sort out because the grace is not enough to be able to deal with that. The Lord has applied His grace to unery in this situation. We must be very careful that we don't get ourselves in a situation where we pick up secondhand offenses on everybody else's behalf, and then we stuck with that after the situation has been sorted out. Offense can be a major stumbling block. And it's the only thing in the Bible that the Lord says He can't forgive you for if you can't forgive someone else. We need to be able to forgive the people that wronged us. And then the next fire extinguisher or spiritual quencher is immorality. Immorality. You can invite them, tell them you're in church, then it's come. So, immorality. So the Greek word for immorality is porneia. And that's the word that pornography comes from. And that's the umbrella that all the sexual sin falls under. And I know for some of us, and I feel sometimes this is one of the biggest things that people struggle with, but it's the things that's kept in under wraps the most. It's not something like unforgiveness that people can necessarily see. Because if you don't confess this sin, no one will know. But I think this is one of the biggest things that's keeping people from burning passionate for God, is this thing of immorality in their lives. Things like adultery, pornography, fornication, immorality. Those are all things that can take and quench your fire very quickly and put you on that tightrope, on that balancing act. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. And that means if someone asks you to flee, that means that you must run. You must go for it, you know? You know, you're not, you know, fleeing is like really just get yourself away from this place as quick as you can. And I want to encourage you, if there's anybody here this morning and you're not walking in a relationship and in an open relationship about those things, I would encourage you this morning, get someone, tell someone, so they can help you and you can process that thing through. Because that will grab a hold of you so quickly, and you will feel like you are in a very, very dark place. And then the next one, and this is the last spirit quencher that I want to share, is worry. Worry quenches the spirit's peace in your life. And some of us, and for my life, it goes amazing and it goes great. And I'm a good place with the Lord, and all of a sudden there's something that pops up in my life and it creates a sense of, like, what am I going to do here? What if this happens? Where is that going to put me? What if, what if, what if? And there's some people here that I know that is struggling with situations, work situations, financial things, things with their kids, things with their husband, things with their wife, that is major and very difficult. And I've got the greatest of sympathy for a lot of the people that's dealing with those things. And I'm not saying it's not supposed to be difficult. I'm saying it's not supposed to put out your fire. And in a sense, if you light your fire, you'll be able to get through this way quicker than it being a spirit quencher in your life. And it leaves us paralyzed sometimes because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And it's something that grabs a hold of us so quickly. And then I speak to myself. A lot of the times I just need to say, Lord, I'm going to give this over to you. Whatever the situation is, it's very uncomfortable and I don't know where it's going to end. But the worst is I can be on the street and I can go stay by Sherman in his house. Yes, sir. That's the worst. With his three kids. In his two-bedroom house. Yeah. But we can't let that paralyze us. One of the most frequent commands used in the Bible is not covet not, it's not hate not, it's not lie not, it's fear not. It's used, you won't believe it, 365 times in the Bible. It's as if the Lord is telling each and every one of us, every day, 365 days, do not worry, I'm with you. Do not worry, I'm with you. And if you're here this morning and you're going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you, just take time and sit with the Lord and hand it over to Him. And get people around you that can encourage you and pray for you. Those people are not going to sort out your problems, but they can stand with you and support and pray for you. It's very important, this accountability thing. Very important. So I hope that, in a sense, has left a little bit, some of you with some hope. But I do also understand that with a lot that I've shared this morning, it might leave some of you in a place of conviction in the Lord. If the Lord's convicted you, I'm so thankful for that. Because that's what the Lord uses to order for orders for us to turn. Conviction is amazing. If I pray that I'm convicted every day of my life. Because I know the more I'm convicted, the more, and then the conviction without change doesn't mean anything. You need to change. So the Lord's convicted you today and this morning. I want you to say thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. But I don't want you leaving here feeling despondent and don't have hope. Because we serve an amazing God. And I was wondering how to end what I wanted to say this morning, and I was just thinking about it. And maybe you can put that picture up of the line again. The reality is that the Lord has died for each and every one of us. And each and every person sitting here today has hope. We all have hope. And if I didn't see this initially, and before we go to that picture. We all have hope here. And if you look at that picture, if you go back to the Y and you go to the second picture, I don't know if you guys can see it there. But even that guy on that rope, like all of us walking on that rope, there's a lifeline there for each and every one of us. That guy's not walking there without a lifeline. You can see that blue line around the main line. And that's what each and every one of us have here this morning. There's a lifeline. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. And the Lord wants you to burn brightly for Him. He wants you to be on fire for Him. And that is an amazing place for us to be, is to be on fire for Jesus. But we need to be able to get to a place where we get rid of the things in our life that is putting water on our fire. And that's my hope this morning, that I can pray for you guys. And I think there's no one here in this building that can say they're burning enough. For me, and maybe this is not theologically right, I don't know, but I can never be too hot. My wife says I'm hot all the time. Sorry, shouldn't have made that joke. That just came up. Yeah, I shouldn't make I mustn't make jokes here now. So we need to, we can never be too hot. We can't. Each and every one of us sitting us today here can be more on fire for Jesus. So I want to lead us all in a prayer this morning. For those of you that might feel convicted and there's something the Lord has pointed out in you, maybe that's things in your life that I've not even mentioned that is quenching your fire. I'd love to be able to pray for you, because as we all burn together, we will see this thing of the miraculous, and we'll see the power. And the only thing that's amazing and great, but that's not what we want in a sense. It is, but we know when we see those things, people's lives will change. So it's not about seeing this great thing and being this great church. It's about people coming here, seeing those things, and falling on the floor and worshiping Jesus because they know that He's real and they can see that He's real. That is what it's about. So I'm going to make you guys a little bit uncomfortable today. I want to pray for each and every one of you guys today. And that means it's going to, I'm not like, what's his name that was here till 2 o'clock? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to reach out to your right and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. All of us. And if you feel uncomfortable, that's something the Lord's going to work in you this morning as well. And as we do this, I know this is different, but as we do this, I really want you to pray and trust that the Lord will come do something not only in you, but in the person next to you. Lord, we want to just thank you this morning, Father, that we get to have a fire. You give us a fire, Lord. And Lord, in your heart for us is to burn brightly for you, Jesus. And that I pray that you'll come and light that desire in each and every one of us, Lord, that we would want to burn brightly for you, Jesus. Because you are worth it all, and because you are amazing, Father, we want to burn brightly for you. So Lord, I want to come this morning, and for those of us who might fall short of this, Lord, and that has put things in our lives and picked things up that's quenching the spirit and of fire in our lives, Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that we'll come lay that at your feet this morning. Lord, I want to pray that won't be a heavy that keeps us from you, Father, I want to pray that it will be a heavy that brings us to you, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, I pray that they will come and confess whatever they're dealing with, Lord. And for all of us, Lord, I pray that we'll be a people, a congregation, but most of all, an individual that can say, I'm on fire and I love Jesus, and you can see that by the way I burn for him. So I just want to come to you this morning, Lord, and pray that, Father, in my life and all of our lives, Lord, that we'll burn brightly, Lord, that we'll be a people that will set ourselves on fire and people can come watch us burn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then I've got just one more group of people I'd love to pray for. And maybe what we can do is we can all stand and stretch our legs a bit. I want to read one last scripture, Luke 13, verse 6. It says, John answered them all. This is John the Baptist. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this morning, if you are here for the first time or the second time or your fifth time, if any of you are here this morning, and maybe we could just all bow our heads, maybe Quibus, if you want to come up just to play the piano. I shared that the story about my fireplace and about that gas prod that gets put in there. And that's what the Lord can do for you this morning. The day I got saved, when that happened to me, everything disappeared. For a moment in my life, it was just Jesus. And this morning you can have a moment like that. You can receive his fire. And I want to tell you, it's not going to come without challenges. It's the most difficult thing you'll do, but it's also the most amazing thing you'll do. And it comes with benefits. And the Bible speaks about this fire, and I spoke about this fire. But the reality is there is another fire. And that's not a good fire. It's waiting for so many in this world. And that's why we want to give every Sunday, we want to give an opportunity for people to come to get to know the Lord. So this morning, if you're here and you guys can bow your heads, and I know this is tough sometimes and difficult to put your hand up in a situation or in an environment like this. But I want to encourage you that it will be the best decision you'll make in your life. He will give you the ability to deal with all your problems if you will just hand it over to him. So if you're here this morning and you've never experienced Jesus and his fire and you've never ever given your life to him, he wants to come set you alight today. He wants to come set a fire in your soul that you can't contain, that you can't control. And if you're thinking, is that me? Or should I put up my hand? That's you that need to put up your hand. That is the Holy Spirit nudging you. So if there's anyone like you here this morning, I'm going to ask that you please raise your hand and I will love to be able to pray with you. Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just want to give it a little bit more time. Thank you, Lord. If a couple of guys can just gather around there by you, Derek, just behind you, and just pray for him. I want to encourage us to walk away from here Actually, before, I feel there's another person. I do feel there's someone else. Is there two there? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I sometimes think, you know, when we, there can be 99 of us that's doing okay or doing well. But I think that the angels in Jesus rejoices so much more just for one person that came to him that he does about 99 of us that's doing well. And someone's life has been changed this morning. And I pray, Lord, Father, I pray that you'll come set a fire in their hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that they will run flat out for you, Father. And as a young Christian, that they'll understand the value of spending time with you, Jesus. The value of being a son in your house. So come set them alight, Father, I pray. Come set us all alight, Father, I pray. This morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.